All right. Good morning, parish. Today's scripture reading is from Acts 4:29 through 35. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and claimed private ownership of any possessions. Everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Andy. All right, my friends. Well, let me share with you for a few minutes this morning as we continue on in the book of Acts. And we're going to dig into these verses a little bit today, a little bit next week. We'll spend some time here because this is going to shape a lot of our practices as we move into this next season. One of the things that we really want to emphasize all the time as a community, but certainly in this time of pandemic, is a healthy inner life with Jesus, and a healthy outer life, my outer relationships with those that I am in community with. And if we can get those two pieces moving more in a Christ-like direction, what's happening in my heart, my abiding with Jesus, what's happening with my relationships with others, well, that would be pretty much the whole ballgame. And so last week we talked about the believers praying, and this prayer that Andy just read and recapped from last week. If you didn't have a chance to hear that, I want to encourage you to go back. Prayer is very much an inner discipline, and it's an inner practice, and it keeps our heart connected with Jesus, and the inner practices then sustain outer practices. And so today and next week, we'll look at some of the practices of a healthy outer journey or outer life, our relationship with others. And so this section of scripture that Andy mentioned very much is one of these verses that sounds in the book of Acts like almost idyllic, almost utopian. It's very like, oh, I want my church community to feel more like that.
Can you
but
get
then
one too?
We get a little bit closer to it, and it's a little bit unsettling. Like, if you sit with this verse, it becomes a little bit disconcerting. Like, what does it mean, really, that the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul? What does it mean that no one claimed private ownership of any of their possessions? How does it impact our lives that not a single needy person is among them, because as many owned lands or houses, they sold them and brought the proceeds? I mean, this is a little bit disconcerting to the way that we approach life. And what's going on here, right? Is this some sort of redistribution of wealth? Is this a primitive form of communism? Well, in some ways, the answer to that seems to be yes. Don't at me, don't email me. Like, that's just what the text is doing here. But what we also want to do is recognize that we live in a different time and place, but there is an impulse here to hold on to. There is a good value here to hold on to as we seek to be the church in 2020. And so do we even want this is the first question we have to answer. Is this what we really desire? And so let's dig into this a little bit. Whenever we're doing biblical interpretation work, whenever we approach the scriptures, there's both micro work that needs to happen. Like, what is happening in this text and in its context, and in, you know, what would the meaning have been to the original audience? But then there's also macro work, which is zooming way out and looking at the whole sweep of the story of scripture. And so let's start there. Let's zoom way, way, way out and ask ourselves, what story is this that the apostles find themselves in? What is the story that led to them acting this way? And if we zoom way out to the beginning, you'll probably recall the story of Abraham Abraham, in the early chapters of the first book of the Bible, a covenant with God was made, and God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing. And this verse really becomes the imagination of what the people of God saw their role in the world as. And so if we fast forward 2,000 years, we ultimately come to the church in the book of Acts, and they see themselves as the fulfillment of this. They see themselves living into the promise of this, that they have been blessed with a new way because of the life and resurrection of Jesus. They're followers of that way, and the overflow of that way is that they become a blessing for the sake of the world. In other words, this new inner reality shapes a whole outer reality of blessing for the world. We've been hitting on that a lot this whole semester, and it seems to be something that's just coming up in the text over and over and over. And so the early church lives into the promised land of being blessed in the way of God. And they use that blessing for the sake of bringing more and more people into that blessing. This new way flows to a new family, the new family of Jesus. And ultimately, to whatever degree our story today that Andy read seems radical, it's because they were taking that story seriously, that they are a part of a whole new family. And what does a family do? Right? Like a family shares everything they have with one another. I'm not sizing up what Brooklyn is bringing to my family table and what McKenna's bringing and does Noah have his allowance this week. Anything I have is theirs because we are a family. What would it look like for us to take this that seriously, that we are the new family of Jesus? And so today, real briefly, what I want to do is just invite us to reconsider all that it is that we share. All that we share. So as yesterday we talked about how the believers share, last week we talked about how the believers pray, this week we're talking about how the believers share. And I want to just briefly share with us this idea of the commons. And this is an idea that comes from a couple of authors named Paul Sparks, Dwight Friesen, and Tim Sorens. They talk about faithful presence in all of these areas of life that we share. And specifically, they highlight these four areas here: education, our civic life, our economic life, and the environment and creation of space around us. And what does it look like for us as the church to recognize that everybody in our city, everybody in your neighborhood, everybody in your street has common concerns around these four things? Everybody desires a good education for their children, both in the formal sense of going to school, but also in the sense of having people around them who can help them mature and form into adults. Everybody desires leadership in government that is not just about what that leader or that government politician might have as their agenda, but instead what is for the common good. Everybody desires to have a safe place to live, basic food and shelter. Everybody desires a cherished space to live in. And so the way that we relate to each other around the things that we hold in common has consequences that matter. That's one of the prime takeaways of the COVID-19 era, is that the way I live impacts you, the way you live impacts me, and at the center of all we hold in common is the faithful presence of Christ Church. That's at the center. We are the glue, so to speak, that hold a society together, because whereas everybody else is wired in a worldview that says, what is in it for me or what are my concerns, God sends his church with that Abrahamic impulse to be a blessing for the world, to see the whole thing get blessed. And so we as the church this week get to show up in the arena of education, in the arena of leadership, wherever that might look like for you, in the arena of economy, in the arena of the environment, and say, how do we get to imagine the whole thing being blessed in the way of Jesus? We're going to talk about this a lot more, but here's my ask for you today, is that you would simply sit this week, take 15 minutes, and I want you to take a walk through your life with a kingdom of God imagination. And ask yourself the question, those four areas, the economy, helping see people formed into mature functioning adults, the environment around us, all of these four areas, what would it look like for this to become a place where God's vision of shalom and blessing for all is realized? What would it look like for me to live redemptively in those areas? How can my faith enlarge from Sunday morning worship participation and into a faithful presence in all of those arenas of life? And so what I want to ask you to do, and this is our practice for today, and we'll stop here. Walk through your life this week. Imagine your work. Imagine your school. Imagine your neighborhood. Imagine your finances. Imagine your politics around the questions, like, what if we, dot, dot, dot. And imagine if we, or could I partner with? Start to imagine with Jesus what he might be drawing you into for the sake of seeing the kingdom of God and a blessing for all invading every sphere of our life. We hold all that in common. If we learn anything from the early church, it's that right away, they began to share in common for the good of all. We'll leave it there and we'll pick it up next week. Let's take a moment and we'll pray together, and then we'll toss it over to Tucker to lead us in a closing song before we share a few things and go this morning. So Jesus, would you help us to be people who imagine the relational and positional places of influence you've given us? And would you help us to move toward those places, not only thinking about ourselves, rejecting the cultural narrative that says all that matters is ourselves, and saying instead that in the midst of this time, we want to be for the good of all we hold in common. Would you help us, give us fresh imagination in each of these arenas of life and how you might be calling us into deeper faithful presence as followers of the way? Would you give us a healthy inner journey to sustain that outer journey? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.